My drive here from Glenmont, New York, Albany area, was 2,971 miles, having left Friday to drive to our church, Sacred Heart of Jesus, in Akron. We arrived after midnight, so Father Gregory left a key and had a room prepared for me and sleeping arrangement for Brother Sebastian Marie. Brother was up for the public 9 a.m. Mass and made good use of his morning. I slept in and had Mass later in the morning. Since I was transferring my books, Mass kit vestments, clothing, personal sermon files, and all that a priest needs, both for his ministry and personal use, we had the seminary van packed and pulling a trailer. We drove in tandem, since I drove the car for my use, also packed full. We made a sort of pilgrimage to a few of our churches, for from Akron, we drove to St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Wayne, Michigan. We made good time getting it at 9:10 p.m., and so did not inconvenience Father Francisco long to wait up for us. I assisted with confessions, communion, and offering the second of his three Sunday Masses. We now set our sights on Our Lady of Grace Church, Seneca, Wisconsin, where we offered late afternoon Monday Mass, stayed the night, and had Tuesday morning Mass. We had needed to have a hotel Sunday night, and so we're not delayed, and so we were delayed getting into Seneca. We then drove to my former parish of 25 years, which had been St. Cloud, Minnesota. The parish outgrew what had been what I now call our small church. And so a larger, suitable church was purchased 10 minutes away in Sartell, Minnesota. The new church was purchased simultaneously as the small church was sold. Clearly, this was through the intervention of St. Philomena. We had obtained a custom wood life-size statue of her and made a shrine in the St. Cloud Church. Her shrine is now in the entryway of the larger Immaculate Conception Church, now in Sartell. So we arrived Tuesday evening, stayed the night, and offered Mass Wednesday morning. We had hotel stays Wednesday and Thursday night, arriving here late Friday afternoon, and so able to offer Mass. And so the only day when I was prevented from offering Mass was Thursday. The drive was reminiscent of my past, for I ministered at each of these four churches as they were being established. Shortly before my ordination, one of the clerics asked a question during clerical scholastic class. My ordination would occasion the first situation where we would have enough priests to have two priests stationed together in the Akron Rectory, but ministering to two parishes, both Akron and Detroit. It was a fair question. The priest replied that, to his understanding, I would be the pastor in Akron. And Father Francisco Radecki, I would be the pastor in Detroit, and Father Francisco Radecki in Akron. As I arrived in Akron, however, Father Francisco explained that he had already regularly been ministering to both parishes, and so he would have the two of us switch off. He would offer Sunday Mass in Detroit one Sunday, and I would offer the Akron Mass the next Sunday, vice versa. The arrangement lasted perhaps just 6 weeks before the priests were summoned to Mount St. Michael for our general chapter. I was a fledgling priest of just 3 months, having been ordained on May 20th. Father Tarcisius, later consecrated Bishop Mark Anthony Peverunis, was elected Superior General. Now, let me explain that though having a vow of obedience, a religious may express a request, though being resigned to the decision of the Superior. For the first and only time in my 46 and a half years in the religious life, I presented a request. I asked Father Tarcisius if I might be assigned to assist him for 1 year. 1 year. That's all I asked. For I wished to benefit from his experience as the foundation of my ministry may well be established. I mean no disparagement to Father Francisco, 3 years my senior in the priesthood. Father Tarcisius said no, and then called Father Francisco in on the conversation. He explained that I would be the pastor in Detroit and Father Francisco in Akron. To Bishop Peverunis' wisdom, he realizes that a priest needs his own turf, his own flock for spiritual ministry. But at present, Father Tarcisius needed to remain at Mount St. Michael for 2 weeks in order to make some arrangements in respect to decisions for the religious congregation. So he sent me to Omaha just for this short time of what he expected to be only 2 weeks. Give extra unction to a man in the hospital. Drive the mass circuit, which involved 6 locations, 2 each on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Meanwhile, Father James McGilloway went to Detroit to substitute for me. Within the 2 weeks, Father Tarcisius called me, telling that he was going to move the seminary from Mount St. Michael to Omaha. Therefore, he now needed my assistance in teaching in the seminary and also going on what we called the mission, the circuit, for those 6 masses. You see, the decision was based on getting the clerics away from the large, busy Mount St. Michael, the largest of our facilities, where they easily had opportunities of being drawn into various tasks. Father Tarcisius decided well that in moving the clerics to a small church, Omaha, which did have a large, the rectory and seminary was adequate, and a very large church was being built. 2 weeks turned into three. The seminarians arrived. I now taught in the seminary, and in a roundabout way, received my request to assist the bishop. Here now, I am returning to seminary teaching. I joke that I will be nicknamed the boomerang priest, for I seem to be called back to assignments where I previously ministered. After ministering in Middleville, Michigan, when I was first ordained, Mass was in a home. I returned there 5 years ago for a three-month assignment as the parish established a home school co-op. After a year in Omaha, I was transferred to St. Michael's Chapel in Glenmont, New York. Now, recently, I have been assigned there for 5 years. After my initial brief assignment in Glenmont, the initial assignment, I was summoned to Mount St. Michael as assistant pastor to Father Casimir, an assignment I resumed about 8 years ago. From Father Casimir, I was then assigned as Father Benedict's assistant pastor for 5 months. Now, I am resuming that role. When the opportunity presented itself to establish a parish in Minnesota, I returned to be resident there. Excuse me, I was resident in Omaha because we did not have a rectory in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And so every Sunday I would drive up for Mass in St. Cloud, Minnesota. I did so for 15 months. During my 25 years in Minnesota, Bishop Pervernus could easily send me hither and yon for brief or substitute assignments, since he could send a priest up from Omaha to substitute on my Sundays away. Bear with me as I tax my memory in recollection. Regular visits to London, Ontario, Canada. Monthly visits in Bismarck, North Dakota for 6 months. Sundays for 3 months in Miami, preparing a class of first communicants. Passiontide in Antwerp, Belgium. Easter week between Munich and Ulm, Germany. New Zealand, 9 locations in 11 days. While in St. Cloud, Minnesota, parishes were established in Seneca, Wisconsin, in Harmony, Minnesota. Also, a Mass center in Illinois, and a Mass center way up in the northwest corner of Minnesota. The bishop continues to extend to young and even newly ordained priests opportunities for a fully fructified ministry. Father Julian Gilchrist was my first assistant pastor at his request. Then, Father Nino Molina, the parish obtained 501c3 on the national level so that he could minister not just for 1 year, but after needing to return to the Philippines for 1 year, he was able to return to Minnesota with a 3-year visa. Since then, he has obtained citizenship, and he will be able to obtain dual citizenship. After Father Molina, I reckon the church in Minnesota has had a few younger priests assigned, and then transitioning on to other assignments. And so, even as I feel privileged to allow myself to diminish that younger priests might be assigned in larger parishes. So now, having heard, you might say, a bit of my abridged autobiography, is there anyone out there, especially a young man, considering the priesthood? Can you call the spiritual ministry boring or not altogether fulfilling? When I was considering the priesthood, even as a freshman in high school, I thought that if the priesthood was nothing more than a career or employment, I would have joined the seminary in a heartbeat. I did go to the day of the vocation day in the seminary in my freshman year, but was not yet convinced that that was my vocation. So I did not go for my sophomore and junior years, but as a senior, I thought I should give it one more consideration. And so once more, I went to the vocation day. Now, Father Benedict, even when I was a freshman in high school, had advised that he felt that I had a religious priestly vocation. Why? He explained that I am a very tidy person, a very neat person. And he said, in the seminary, it is a tidy place. Everything has a place and everything is in its place. Well, Big Brother's advice was not enough to convince me, because I felt the same might be said of a father and a husband of a family, that if I were called to be married, along with my wife, we could have a tidy home and good, reverent, and well-disciplined children. I had, on a few occasions, sought advice and counsel from Father Clement Kubisch. Finally, I came to realize a spiritual sign for a priestly religious vocation. Again, I told you that if it were only a job, a career, I'd have joined in a heartbeat. But it's not a job, it's not a career, it's a vocation. There needs to be a spiritual reason for a calling to the priesthood or religious life. And finally, I found that calling. I came to understand that I had a desire to work for souls. If I could have only paid attention to older brother, I could have joined the seminary 7.5 years earlier. But here now, taking advice from Father Clement Kubisch on a few occasions, and having at last come to the realization of my vocation, he told, if you're going to be a priest, you be a good one. Through your prayers, may God grant me grace to be a better priest. In concluding giving absolution to a penitent, Father Clement always said, and please pray also for me. So in his like have I taken to this manner of concluding in absolving a penitent. After giving the penitent his penance and praying the prayers of absolution, you will know that your confession is finished when I say to you, and please pray also for me. Yes, please always pray for me and all priests, that God will give the clergy more abundant grace to effect the sanctification of the laity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.